talks like an animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Sherry Duvall, the founder and president of Canines for Warriors, based in Ponte Vedra Beach. But with a rising national profile, Canines for Warriors pairs veterans who suffer from PTSD and other wounds of war with rescue dogs who've been specially trained as service dogs to help the veterans overcome sort of obstacles, challenges, and return more fully to civilian life. We'll find out more about Canines for Warriors and the different ways the organization helps veterans when we speak with Sherry Duvall in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Later in the show, we'll have a closer to a full-length edition of animal news and announcements. And the prize for Name That Animal Tune will be tickets to see the Mojo Gurus this Saturday at Aces in Bradenton. Right now, it's practically incumbent on me to speak for a moment or two about WNS Fall Membership Drive, which starts 2 weeks from today. Talking Animals will be on air raising money that very first day, October 1st, and to reach what inevitably will be a huge fundraising goal, I'd like to ask you to please donate well ahead of time. If you like Talking Animals, if you appreciate the interviews we bring you each week and other aspects of the program, please consider supporting the show and me with an early pledge. How about today? $35, $50, $100, whatever you can swing. Just please email me during the show at dj@wmnf.org. You can donate directly to the Talking Animals tip jar. You just go to the wmnf.org, go to the schedule, click on Talking Animals. When that page opens up, just go to the top and click on tip jar and just drop a few bucks in, right? And as always, we have exclusive cool ways to thank you for your donations, including amazing tickets to see James Taylor November 14th at what used to be called the Tampa Bay Times Forum. Plus, this drive we'll be doing something called the Talking Animals Thank You Gift Garage Sale. We're not necessarily moving, but like most garage sales, there'll be a number of great items at really good prices, like the Talking Animals t-shirt we have left, just a very few of those. Talking Animals Anniversary Bash CD that we offered in last drive. Books from past Talking Animals guests, many of them signed by the author, including the latest book from John Katz, Second Chance Dog, a love story. He's been a guest on Talking Animals a handful of times. New York Times bestseller, 25 some odd books. We also have a copy or two, I think, left of Metal Cats, this wonderful photography collection featuring images of male musicians from the metal scene with their cats. We have a copy or two left of the exclusive sort of Live Eels 2 CD set you can't really get anywhere else. And there'll be other books by past guests and other items, so more details we'll be offering on next week's show or on the show website, talkinganimals.net, in the coming days. Right now, let's jump into an animal song. This is They Might Be Giants with Mammal Now on Talking Animals.
Glass of milk, standing in between extinction in the cold and explosive radiating growth. So the warm blood flows through the large four-chambered heart, maintaining the very high metabolism rate. But you're reminded that it once was there. From the embryonic whale to the monkey with no tail. So the warm blood flows with the red blood cells lacking nuclei through the large four-chambered heart, maintaining the very high metabolism rate.
Dolphin and dog, koala bear and hog.
That was They Might Be Giants with Mammal, an animal song of sorts to get us started this morning. Let's move into our chat with Sherry Duvall, founder of Canines for Warriors, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Sherry Duvall to Talking Animals. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals, and I look forward to exploring all facets of Canines for Warriors, including the circumstances behind your founding the organization. But first, tell me a bit about your life before you launched Canines for Warriors. What were you doing? How were you spending your time?
Well, my husband was a professional golfer on the PGA Tour, and specifically the Senior Tour, which they call the Champions Tour. So we spent quite a few years out on the road, going from tournament to tournament, and then he retired from that. He just plays for fun now.
And so how long have you, are you living or based in Punta Vedra then, or?
Yes, we live in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, which is just the beach side of Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, so take us back to the situation in your own family that led to recognizing the severity of the struggles faced by veterans returning home after being in combat.
Well, my son, Brett Simon, was a canine police dog handler in Cincinnati, Ohio. And after 9/11, the Department of Defense and Army was desperately looking for bomb dog handlers. And so my son volunteered to go on deployment under the Department of Army. So he did two tours in Iraq. And as a veteran police officer and a dog handler, I pretty much was not real keen on the idea, but he was determined to go, and I really, though I just worried about his safety and all, but when he came home, what I saw was not anything like I ever anticipated. He was just a completely changed person. Being a veteran officer, I thought he had seen pretty much everything, but he was not prepared, nor was his family prepared for how he was when he came home.
And Sherry, can you describe a little bit about how Brett was before he left, and in contrast to how he was when he returned?
Well, I would say he was a very strong person. He had seen a lot as a police officer, and of course, worked in dangerous situations, but when he came home, he was shallow. The light wasn't on. He was depressed. He was angry. He stayed away from his family. He was had panic attacks, anxiety attacks. He wouldn't leave the house. He would not leave the house, and he was losing weight. And I really had no idea what was wrong with him, except that I knew that was directly related to war. And so I started doing a lot of research on how to help him. And of course, we took him from doctor to doctor, and that was not helping. So it was very obvious after doing my research that he had post-traumatic stress disorder. And I had done a lot of research on what to do to help him. And I came across service dogs. And it was kind of a new idea at the time. It had been done, but really not done a lot. And so in my effort to help him, I asked him, I said, Brett, what do you think about training dogs for returning veterans that are suffering from post-traumatic stress? Because at this point, we had already discussed what his diagnosis was, but we didn't have any help for it. And that was the first time I saw the light come back on in him. And he started to re-engage, and it gave him something to look forward to or to do. And he loved the idea of being able to help others that were returning home with this. Well, little did I know that this disability is rampant, and we're losing a veteran every hour to suicide. So it's epidemic,
yeah.
And we're just, because of the multiple deployments and what they see, they're prepared to go to war, but they're not prepared to come home. So we started this organization. I started working on this 4.5 years ago. This month celebrates our third year of actually being open. And we've placed 147 dogs with 147 veterans with a 95% success rate.
Well, you've said a lot there, and I want to probably widen out and explore some of those things in greater detail. I mean, first of all, was it just a mother sort of in mama bear mode, like, hey, my cub is in serious trouble, and I got to figure out what to do? So you did your research. And then was kind of your way in, although you'd obviously come during the course of your research to find that service dogs were crucial, was it because of Brett's background as a canine police handler where you thought, okay, this might click with him and help us rescue this guy?
Oh, no question about it, because I tried to find something that we could hone in on that he specifically would have could relate to. And when it popped up in my research, I went, hey, boy, bingo. I found something that I might be able to get his attention, and it did. Had it been equine therapy, which is also successful, that would not have tripped his trigger. So being with the dogs and him being a trainer and a handler, that caught his attention. And so little did I know that it would be as a profound of an impact, not only on him, but the disabled veterans we're serving.
So what is it, Sherry, in sort of looking back over these three or really 4.5 years, sort of about your more makeup where you said, okay, well, my son's in trouble. I got to help him. So you dove into the research. But once you sort of reached him and the light bulb went off, what is it that went beyond that to say, you know what, I'm actually going to take this well beyond helping Brett. I'm going to create an organization that could help all the other Bretts out there.
Well, it's the need. You know, in doing all my research, the need was so profound that if I was suffering from the watching my son deteriorate, how many other mothers were suffering, or wives, or children? And I just saw that this was destroying military members and their families, which trickles down to their community. I mean, it's far-reaching. And when I saw the statistics on the number of suicides, it started with an effort to help my son. But, you know, my goal is that no mother had to go through that again.
Yeah. This is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Sherry Duvall, founder of Canines for Warriors, which pairs veterans who suffer from PTSD and other wounds of war with rescue dogs who have been trained as service dogs. If you'd like to ask Sherry a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So, Sherry, as you were doing your research and assembling all the pieces of what would become Canines for Warriors, how did you decide to use rescue dogs?
Well, that's a good question. At first, you know, I said to Brad, I said, we've got to get some dogs in here and get them trained. And he's an expert at training. And he said, well, Mom, you know, breeding programs are one way. And he'd always dealt with German Shepherds and Belgian Malinois. But those dogs were used for specifically different roles. You know, bomb dog detection, cadaver detection, drug apprehension, aggression, you know, different facets. Yeah. Our role as the service dog for what we needed was completely different. The training was different and the use was different. So to get, a pedigree dog was quite expensive. We didn't have any money. And I said, Brett, you know, there's so many animals that need rescuing. Why can't we use rescued shelter dogs? And he said, Mom, we can. And I said, well, there we go. I mean, we're doing a good thing here. So I think we've rescued now over 250 dogs since we started.
Yeah. No, that's so great, because obviously then the rescuing operates in two directions. And as you surely learned in your research along the way, I mean, some programs that seek to help veterans in a similar way, at least to what you do, do so with dogs that actually are carefully bred to be service dogs, not necessarily the German Shepherd or dogs you were talking about before, but labs and retrievers that would otherwise maybe be service dog oriented. So yeah, it's great to, of course, great services. Anything that helps veterans, obviously, cope with these kinds of issues is tremendously important. But it's just so great that in addition to that, that dogs that are otherwise sitting in shelters and who knows how much more time they have are being kind of swooped up by you guys and trained in that way.
Well, they're incredible dogs, and it's amazing. I don't know if it's having not, you know, I've been to shelters. I've actually adopted shelter dogs myself in the past, but I didn't realize how many dogs are being turned in and then euthanized. It's sickening, but... you know, purebred labs, goldens, I mean, Weimaraners, you name it, but then just even the mixed, you know, breeds, just wonderful animals that have so much to give. And we have found that shelter dogs are so grateful. I don't know how they know it, but they do. So grateful to be released from a shelter that they will do anything to please and learn. And we've had just incredible dogs. I mean, I want to keep them all, but that's impossible. I have four of my own. So,
what is the process by which you go in and you get one or more dogs, however many at any given time, and sort of adopt or rescue them? And then what is the process by which the veterans are actually paired with these dogs?
Well, it's a two-step process. First of all, to secure the dogs. And we have a very careful evaluation of the dog that's chosen for our program. Not all dogs are meant to be service dogs. Not all dogs want to work. We have that's the critical step in choosing a dog, because you put months of training into that dog, and if there's a flaw of some sort, a sign of aggression or timidness, or they don't like children, or they chase cats and hate cats, whatever the scenario may be, then they're not going to be a good working dog. And so that evaluation of the animal is critical. Unfortunately, we've got that, you know, that's become much easier because the shelters that we pull from, which are, you know, many, they know exactly what we're looking for now and identify that dog and say, we've got one we think would be good for your organization. So that helps us a lot, because we went through a lot of trial and error at the beginning where dogs washed out quicker because we didn't do the proper homework, or, you know, things weren't disclosed to us that we knew. We've gotten that pretty well refined. Now, the warriors, they fill out an application, and it's a very long application because we vet the warriors as well as we do the dogs. We would never place or accept anybody into our program that would have a history of animal abuse, for example. Fortunately, we've never found that, but you don't know. Do a very careful evaluation. The warriors have to have a disability. They have to have a medical disability. They have to be a veteran since 9/11 and specifically suffer from post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and, of course, many have come to us because of mobility issues. So then we take into all their circumstances. Do they live in an apartment? Do they have a fenced yard? How many children do they have? Do they have other animals in the house? You know, what is are they working? You know, we take all that criteria, and then we carefully match the dogs to fit their scenario. So that's how it's done. And I think out of 147 that we have placed, only two, the matches did not work. But we have dogs in backup in case that happens.
Well, one question I have, and this actually dovetails with one of our our listeners emailed a question. So asking to sort of specifically, you know, explain the training the dogs get to become a service dog geared for returning soldiers with PTSD.
And that is another good question. Because of the training and specifically what we need for the disabled veterans that we serve, the training is not as complex or as long as, say, a seeing eye dog or a hearing dog. Those dogs can take up to 2 years to train. We don't need those tasks, that multitude of tasks. We don't need dogs putting clothes into wash machines or getting them out or turning on and off lights, although many of our dogs are capable of doing that. We need a well-trained dog that knows basic skills, sit, stay, down, heel, etc. And then we teach them specific tasks to help mitigate the symptoms of post-traumatic stress. So those tasks learned do not take the length of time. We don't have the luxury of time, number one. And number two, we don't need it. So we do not, the dogs are not trained as long as, say, a seeing eye dog. Those require a lot longer training.
So what are then some of the specifics once they've kind of passed the test of checklists and other things, like, okay, this dog looks like got the right temperament and everything else that you're looking for, and then has the basic training. What is the training beyond that that is specific to living with a warrior that has PTSD?
Well, once the dogs enter our program, they have a complete medical checkup, including x-rays, because we want to prevent anything that might deter the dog for working for many years, and that includes hip dysplasia or anything that perhaps the shelter has missed. So that is a full medical evaluation. Okay, then we bring the dog in. Then for 2 weeks, that dog is monitored very carefully to see if there's anything that's missed. Is the dog going to become aggressive at any point? And we've had some that after a couple weeks, they've shown signs of aggression. So then we they're washed out of the program, and we find homes for them. No dogs ever return to the shelter. Once after that 2 weeks is done, then they start their formal training. And every day they go out with our trainers, and they learn the basic commands. And it's all treat-based, treat rewards. They do good, they get a treat. So then they work with them every day, learning their basic commands. And then also they're taught specific tasks of picking up things and bringing it back, a credit card or a pen or your keys. Because many of our warriors suffer from, they can't bend over, or, you know, they have trouble getting up and down out of a chair. So they're taught that. They're also taught to critical commands when you're dealing with a patient with post-traumatic stress, and that's cover and block. For example, a warrior is in a store, and they're very nervous about people approaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog automatically goes into a cover position in the front, non-aggressively, but gives them that barrier between them and the approaching person. And the same for the back part of them. If they're in an ATM machine, the dog goes into the block position so that he feels comfortable that no one's coming up on them from the rear. The other task that we do not teach them, however, we encourage it, is the warriors live with us for 3 weeks, because even though the dogs are trained by the time we place them with the warriors are completely untrained. They don't have a clue about dog training. So we spend 3 weeks, and that's the critical part of our program, because now we're doing a recovery program for them. Not just the dog. The dog helps in their recovery, but we force them at 0900. They're dressed, ready to go. Their rooms are cleaned up. They've had their breakfast, and out the door they go, off-site for training every day. And this gets them back out into the world, into society, which is something they have stopped doing. And we force them to go to Target, Walmart, airports, movie theaters, restaurants, until they become comfortable with their new battle buddy and can able to navigate the civilian world again with some dignity and confidence, and their self-esteem just rises exponentially. And they do it with their partners. But the one thing is, we encourage them to sleep with their dogs. And I would say 90% of our warriors, the dog wakes them out of the severe nightmares that they have. Nightmares are horrible.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you hear and read about, and it's really been discussed on the show a number of times. So I'd be curious, I mean, as part of that training, like, do the dogs receive training to sort of recognize and then help that warrior when they're in the midst of one of those horrible nightmares?
Well, unless somebody else is better at this than we are, we have yet to been able to duplicate sweating and panic and crying out and nightmares. So the dog, it's very difficult to train them for that. So by encouraging the warrior to sleep with their dogs, the dogs have formed such a bond, because the dogs are tethered to the warriors 24 hours a day. Even when they go into the shower, the dog lays on the floor of the bathroom until they come out, and then they're hooked back up again when they have their clothes on. So the dog is never without them. So the bond becomes so strong, particularly taking them out of the kennels, and suddenly they have this person 24 hours a day attending to them and each other. So the bond forms very quickly. So when dogs don't know that you're having a nightmare, what they know is something's drastically different. You emit an odor, which is undetected by humans, but when you're in the midst of an anxiety or a panic attack, it's medically proven you emit a different odor, and that dog picks up on it. It's the same with diabetic children or diabetic people. They smell that.
Sure.
They don't see it. It's invisible.
Right, and that's when they go into alert to
exactly.
mode. Yeah.
So the dog picks up on it, and I mean, an extreme example is, I think it was a month and a half ago, I had a warrior call me, and they all call me Mom. And he said, Mom, I got to tell you a story. And I said, yeah, babe, how's it going? He said, well, it wasn't going too well. He said, I slipped back, and he said, I had a series of nightmares. And he said, but the last one was so bad. I was back in Iraq, and there were dead bodies all over. My comrades were laying there. There was blood. I could smell it. I could taste it. I could see it. And he said, I woke up, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. And he was going to kill himself. And the dog immediately woke him up out of this demon nightmare, licking him and, you know, pawing on him and getting him back to reality. But that wasn't enough. He went to the closet to get his gun, and the dog literally jumped up on him and pulled his night shorts off, tore them to shreds, and pulled him away.
Wow.
And the warrior stopped. And he said, you know, if this dog loves me this much, I better start learning to love myself. And that was a turnaround for him.
Yeah, a profound moment.
A profound turnaround.
Yeah.
In this case, that dog saved his life.
Yeah. And again, the dog, so connected and obviously so intuitive to know that,
exactly.
Hey, I've got to do something crazy like pull his shorts down or
exactly.
chew them up or
he
whatever.
He could but talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, he was talking at that point probably. Yeah.
Now, that's one story, and I have dozens and dozens of other stories that are not quite that I'm going to kill myself, but to get them back to sleep at night. Most of them don't sleep at night. They stay awake all night and sleep all day because of they call them the demons come. And post-traumatic stress is not elusive to just warriors. I mean, if you're in a horrific car wreck, bad car wreck, and people died or the gore or whatever, you're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget it. And so the war is horrific, and it's day in and day out. And you have to remember that our kids don't just go for 8 months. They go multiple times, 4, 5, 6, 8 times. So it's just, you know, repetitive horror that they have to live with when they come home. I mean, I had one Marine that was a recon sniper, and he was shot 9 times on 3 different occasions. And he told us the dog saved his life, not from the bullet wounds. They healed from post-traumatic stress.
And so, Sherry, is what you were just describing about the gentleman whose example you just gave a moment ago. So because of the nightmares, the night terrors, often they don't sleep at night. So then they sleep during the day, which, of course, then further hooks into their discomfort or unwillingness to go out in public.
Correct.
So I take it that's part of the thing you mentioned earlier about, hey, you're up at 0900. You're this, you're that, you're dressed, you've had your breakfast, and boom, out. I guess you're really sort of reprogramming them.
We are reprogramming. What I like to say is we're hitting the reset button, and we're changing that habit and that pattern, which is just a deteriorating spiral that keeps going down and down and down.
Yeah.
And we change that, and the dog helps them do it. You know, dogs can't wait until noon to go to the bathroom. They
yeah.
have to go out.
Yeah.
So it forces the warrior to get up, attend to their dog, take them out, walk them, feed them. Let's say they're walking them. Now they ran into a neighbor, and the neighbor says, oh, I loved your dog. What a great dog. Now they're engaging people to talk to other people. And they don't have to talk about themselves. They can talk about their dogs.
Right.
So it just changes the mentality of can post-traumatic stress be cured? No. But it's just like diabetes. You can control it. And you can take these dogs are nothing more than prescriptions on four legs.
And just helps you helps them cope with what is still a fundamental condition.
That is correct.
Yeah. So, and also, you know, beyond the thing about interacting with people, which of course is huge, but also what you mentioned earlier about going out to Target or shopping centers. I mean, it just seems, again, you hear and read often that they just do not want to be anywhere where there's people. They certainly don't want to be where there's crowds. And the other thing, too, that you mentioned about the sort of blocking of there's just their personal space is unlike your personal space or my personal space, they just can't have it invaded. So the way those dogs are trained to sort of just give them that extra space, even if somebody well-meaning is coming up, that they can't know that warrior is, you know, hey, you're too close. And the dog just sort of takes that out of even being an issue.
That's exactly correct. For example, you're in a grocery store and somebody approaches you and they have a backpack on. You and I might not think anything about that. They see that as a bomb. That's how they see it. They've been conditioned to see that. They've seen the horror of what happens with that. So, you know, if a car gets too close to you, they see that as an exploding car. So it's what they've been conditioned to. And I don't think any of us that have not been to war, and I certainly haven't, can relate to that. You know, they can. And as a team, we also take five warriors a month. So they work as a unit. So when one's lagging behind because they're having an issue, the others stay with it. They have that. It's part of the recovery program. It's part of the team effort. It's what they call battle buddies. They're used to working as a team. No solo soldiers.
And you're referring to the three-week period where they're there paired with their dog.
That's critical to the program.
Yeah, and I should just quickly note that all aspects of that three-week stint where they stay there and do all the things you described, that does not cost the warrior a cent other than, I think, to get, you know, transportation to get where you are. But otherwise, once they're there, everything else is, you know, covered.
Everything is free in our program, and we are able to help with many of our warriors' airfare. We partner with Miracle Flight and Veterans Airlift Command and a couple others that Semper Fi Fund is wonderful about getting their Marines to and from us. So very few we have not been able to help with the airfare.
That's great.
And we can't pay it ourselves. We just don't have the funds. But we partner with certain agencies that are really helping us get our kids here.
Sure. My guest is Sherry Duvall, founder and president of Canines for Warriors. We have just a few minutes left. I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Well, I've got a number of questions more, Sherry, but let's get at least one of our callers involved. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Sherry Duvall.
Well, hello, Sherry Duvall, and I appreciate you guys taking my call.
I'm sorry, I can't hear the caller.
Hello.
Go
ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Sorry.
I appreciate you taking me call, Sherry. Thank you for doing your good work.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Veteran myself, Alpha Company, 3rd of the 15th Infantry.
Thank you for your service.
Well, and, you know, there is, please don't. Don't thank me for my service. I did not enlist out of nobility. I did not enlist out of patriotism. I enlisted like a number of men in my company out of desperation, out of being a social misfit, out of problems with alcohol, problems with the law. We wanted the GI Bill, every one of us. We were not warriors. Warrior is a French word, meaning he who wages war, he who lives for war. And we did not live for war. We were soldiers, from the Latin word, soldius. The Romans paid their soldiers one gold coin, a soldus. And they
what is your question,
by
sir?
Their coin. My question is, we were talking about symptoms. And the cure is, you take fundamentally good all-American men, and you put them in a position where they got to do something awful to live, and they come home with a moral injury. And I appreciate you curing the symptoms, but that's not the disease. The disease
Doctor,
is where we're finding ourselves.
Thank you for your service. I appreciate your viewpoint. I'm grateful to say that out of the men and women that I've served, they do not share the same viewpoints as you, but you're certainly entitled to make them.
I thank you for your call, and I guess we should note, too, that in a somewhat parallel sense, the caller was noting what you already had, which is that the dogs and the whole program are incredibly helpful and change those warriors' lives and day-to-day functioning, but at base, they still have PTSD, and the dogs are more about, again, coping with that and not suggesting that they are removing that or curing the PTSD.
Correct.
On a kind of a related note, again, you've made a couple references to it. A dark but really important aspect of this discussion is the really sort of prevalent suicide rate among veterans, and how that's often mitigated by the kind of services that are provided by Canines for Warriors. So I think you said earlier in the discussion that how often are veterans committing suicide?
One an hour.
Yeah.
It's epidemic.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the medical community has not been able to stop this. The answer currently, the best answer they have, and don't get me wrong, everybody's trying, but they're medicating them. And that's only masking the disease, the disability. That's only putting a Band-Aid over it. That's not a solution. And I find that I don't have a veteran that comes here not taking less than 20 medications a day. I've had them as high as 40 a day. Well, they're lethal cocktails. And, you know, we are not a medical facility. We cannot advise people on what to take and what not to take. But we do suggest that they reevaluate the number of medications they're taking and talk to their healthcare provider. And because it's they're lethal cocktails, and we're proud to say that all of our 147 graduates have reduced their medications by 90%.
Yeah, what I was gonna ask you about that the results are significant in that way, and that more anecdotally that. I know a number of veterans who have passed through your program, if not instantly, shortly thereafter, they've had the 3-week training and launched their life back with their dogs, have said things like, "Hey, it's the first time I haven't felt like committing suicide or haven't entertained those thoughts," which is pretty dramatic.
Yes, it's significant, and you know, like I said, when they can get clear-headed and their thinking has changed, they're able to cope better. They're getting back with their families. I've had warriors that they go coach their children's soccer games, which they couldn't even attend a soccer game before, and they go with their dog. I had one warrior's wife tell me, "Thanks for giving me my husband back," and she said, "The only thing I asked for is that we go dancing again." She said, "We used to love to dance, and he won't even go to a public place." She said, "Now we went out dancing the other night. I had such a wonderful time. But you didn't tell me I had to dance with a dog, too."
I thought that might be coming. Yeah. Well, that's part of the deal.
And we all laughed about it. But,
yeah.
You know, she was so encouraged. I mean, the wives and the mothers are just so grateful. And that's not what we ask. We don't ask for gratefulness. We're just so honored and thrilled to be able to give these kids what they deserve.
And these success stories, Sherry, are so gratifying and poignant, obviously, to hear. And at the same time, I know a concern of yours that a harsh reality is that with multiple and extended wars and you know, just in the last 48 hours, people are talking about boots on the ground, going back to Iraq again. The need for this outpacing the availability of the dogs, but I believe there are plans afoot for Canines for Warriors to better meet that expanded need. Maybe we could talk about the new...
We've been gifted a 17,000-square-foot facility. It's being constructed right now. Hopefully will be open in December or January, and we will be able to serve 16 warriors a month. It's quite the challenge, not only staff-wise, but financially. We'll do it.
Yeah.
We will do it. But we're going to be jumping from 5 warriors a month to 16. So logistics and all the moving parts of that. But we will never change the program. And that is the respect and the honor that we will give each and every veteran that comes through there. So we will be adding resources to help them and staff to help them. But they will be treated with all the honor and respect that we can possibly give them because that's our mission.
Well, so, Sherry, we're really not only at the end of our time, we're sort of over our time, but all this raises, I think, sort of a fundamental question, which is how is the organization funded?
It's all privately funded. We do not take any government money. So anybody that feels that they have a alignment with us, they're feel free to donate. We have our website is caninesforwarriors.org, and that's K and the number 9 for warriors.org, caninesforwarriors.org. And, you know, we welcome all support. By the way, 94 cents out of every dollar is returned to our program. I do not take a salary. I do have staff that I have to pay. Our vet bills are out of the moon. You know, we have costs. But 94 cents out of every dollar is returned to our program.
And we should also mention, too, before we say goodbye, is that, this is obviously Florida-based, but it's very quickly become sort of nationally recognized and that a number of warriors have come from all over the country.
Yes, they come from all. We serve all branches, and we serve nationally. From any part of the country, most of our warriors from other states,
and to the tune of 147 and counting. So pretty wonderful, pretty remarkable. So we've been speaking with Sherry Duvall from Canines for Warriors. Again, the website is Canines, as in the letter K and the numeral 9, caninesforwarriors.org. Sherry, thank you so much for joining us today on Talk Animals, and thank you so much for your amazing, great work.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Talking Animals. Let's step now into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Matt Bronger with a brief piece called Panda Butler. Actually, a little longer today than the brief, I should say. On today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I'm not knocking it. Look, I think positive visualization is a handy tool, and it's good. It's good to stay positive. When you're negative all the time, it doesn't help you at all. But I don't necessarily believe in the secret, but I don't know. It might work. Asking the universe for something might work. So I'm going to try it right now. I'm going to try the secret and see if it works, okay? So I am going to throw out right now what I want from the universe and hope that I get it. So here we go, okay? Panda butler! That's all I want. I want a panda that is also a butler. That's it. I want a panda that walks on his hind legs and often fails and tries to be my butler. Walks in while I'm watching TV with a tray of champagne flutes, which he will drop. Granted, he will drop them, but he'll try. Walks in. It's okay, Clive. You're still my man. High five. Actually, any bear that won't kill me. That's all I want, right? I will rubberize my home wherever he wants, right? Just as long as he does. Like, can you imagine just sitting and watching TV with a bear that is also sitting and his little belly is going up and down with his breathing? His bear belly. You can put stuff on it, like a tray of cheese and crackers. And he occasionally just yells and you love it because it feels like commentary, right? You're right, dude. Jersey Shore is the end of all civilization. High five.
That was Matt Bronger with a piece called Panda Butler, found on his album Slacker. It's time now for animal news and announcements. We'll be offering a pair of tickets to see the Mojo Gurus Saturday, September 20th at Aces in Bradenton. We'll get to that in a moment, but let's hit at least a few of our announcements. First of all, I want to remind you that Cowspiracy, the Sustainable Secret, the documentary we discussed on last week's show with filmmakers Kip Anderson and Keegan Kinn, which is archived, by the way, on TalkingAnimals.net, as all our programs over the last 11-plus years are, by the way, dating back to the pre-WMNF California, Eric. And so check that out. And the screening of Cowspiracy that's coming up in the area is Thursday, September 25th at 7 p.m. at the Brandon AMC, Brandon Boulevard in Brandon. So you can find out more about all that by going to Florida Voices for Animals, and you can find out about the screening and see the trailer, etc. So that's coming up. Also currently underway with for a little bit more of, well, actually, the balance of the month. Animal Coalition of Tampa is offering a fix one, get one, you know what, during September. So the first animal surgery is at regular price. A second surgery of equal or lesser weight is, you know what. And that's good through September 30th. So you can call 813-250-3900 or go to actampa.org. to find out more. Coming up also down the road, the blessing of the animals going to be provided by the Franciscan Center on October 2nd, and they're at 3010 Perry Avenue, and that's going to be October 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. For more information, you can call 813-229-2695 or email info@franciscancentertampa.org. Also coming up is the Pup Crawl. That's right, you heard me. Pup Crawl, hosted by Pet Pal Animal Shelter, is a fundraiser for them. So you'll go around to various watering holes, World of Beer, Cafe Lamar, the Kitchen at Janice, One Night Stand, the Ale and the Witch. You'll drink up and bring your animals and to support the work and help of other animals. What's not to like? I think that's all we have time for today. We'll cover more next week. Right now, let's proceed with Name That Animal Tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMNF member to win, though we want and encourage you to become one. If not right now, then certainly 2 weeks from now when our fun drive, our fall membership drive kicks off. So we'll offer a pair of tickets to see the Mojo Gurus this Saturday, September 20th at Aces in Bradenton. The first person who calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Me River, and before I was one, my mama alligator said to me with a smile, "Let me show you how to walk in a particular style. You take a little bit of country and some slow rock and roll. What you got going is the alligator stroll." Okay. I hold my head up high, I keep my feet on the ground, I never hurry, never worry as I'm strolling around. I can keep a certain tempo that is lazy and sweet, and I don't need shoes cause I've got abs.
We'll take whatever guesses we have off air, cause we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. Be back next Wednesday with another edition. Hope you visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our email newsletter there to find out more about guests a few days ahead of hand. You know, be in the know. And other news from the Talking Animals world. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Why don't you drop a few bucks on our tip jar today? Give us a running start for the fun drive 2 weeks from today. Yikes. Help us. Help. Please. All right. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And this is WNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachee, and beyond. Community Conscious Radio. Thanks for listening. Be again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks.